Today's sermon is called God's Love Language. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Lord God of our Lenten hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We're continuing on our study of covenants, and God gave us these Ten Commandments for a reason. What do we think that was? Okay, there's probably a lot of reasons that we could think of. And to give you some background here, Egypt had owned the Hebrews and told them what to think, what to do, what the rules are in terms of their rights when they encounter others while they were slaves in Egypt for the last 400 years prior to their arrival here with Moses on Mount Sinai. If you go outside these boundaries in that prior life, 400 years of slavery, the consequences were severe and harsh because the slave-master relationship is not based on love, but of following laws. And it doesn't matter how unjust those rules and laws are to the slave. After many generations, it's not hard to imagine that the Israelites were simply used to being barked at, following rules and orders. It's not hard to imagine that the Israelites forgot how to love. How do we love in modern times? In the 1990s, a very popular book was published by a Baptist minister. And he counseled couples who were in trouble. And he published this book based on his research called The Five Love Languages: Secrets to Love That Lasts. Folks are so desperate for a definitive answer to how we love that this book has sold over 20 million copies in our popular lexicon. It's been around for over 30 years, and books, commercials, movies, and academic research have bombarded us these easy shortcuts to better communication and relationships. How many of you have read this book, The Five Love Languages? Even if you haven't read the book, you've probably heard of it. And how many of you then know what your love language is? All right. Well, just to review, even if you have known what your love language is, but for those of you who might not, here are the five love languages that are in the book. The first is words of affirmation, or getting genuine encouragement often and gently. The second is nonverbal physical cues, showing affection and making intimacy a thoughtful priority. The third is receiving gifts, thoughtful ones, which make others a priority and speaking purposefully. Small things matter in a big way, and expressing gratitude and thanks when getting a gift. The fourth is quality time matters. One-on-one time with a focused and uninterrupted conversation. Make time for the one you love. Check in. Get away for the weekend. And the fifth is acts of service for others that are expressed actively, knowing that you're partnered with the one you care about. Go out of your way to alleviate the daily grind. Do stuff together. Now, therapists have encouraged couples the world over to figure out how they best express the way they interact with their partners, according to these love languages. Most of the time, people focus on one of these things, with the intention of getting their partner to interact with them in the way that they can best engage. Many times, partners end up choosing different of the five styles. So sometimes there might be even be multiples of them, sometimes none of them. It's hard to figure out if you've got one primary language that this kind of thing can be really frustrating for folks who are trying to figure out the actions to take to establish or reestablish intimacy in a relationship. Who are you? Who is your partner? What are they expressing? How's the best way to connect? And so now we come back to our scripture. Ask almost anyone about the nature of God, and they'll tell you what. What is the nature of God? That's right, God is love. And yet, not many people have a relationship with God or understand what that means, how to get started, how to keep it going, or what to expect. It feels like most folks have a problem figuring out how to relate to God, how to communicate to God, how to communicate with God, how to love God. Maybe folks get introduced to God, but we need to figure out God's love language. What do we think that is of these five things I just gave you? Is it any one thing on the list? All right, we whizzed through those five criteria pretty quickly. So let's see how God shakes out according to those five criteria from pop culture. What do we think are God's words of affirmation to us? All right, it's early. I know it's Sunday, so I'll help you out here. For my two cents, that probably references the Bible, these words of affirmation, and the very things that we read right here, right? God is trying to give us a gentle nudge to say that these things, these Ten Commandments, are worth paying attention to in order to relate to one another and follow God faithfully. God doesn't beat us over the head with the Bible. It's there for the taking and the reading. Or not. How about that second one? How about that second love language? God gives us physical cues. God is the wind in the trees. God is the song of the birds. God is the soft fur of a cat or a dog. God is the longing gaze of a baby or someone we love. Our God of creation is with and through all things. Remember that. We've talked about that. It's up to us to realize that what is before you, what is simply before you at this moment, is holy. Even in the most mundane of days, what is simply before you and around you and among you, there is God. How about gifts? What gifts has God given? How about life itself? Our minds, with which we learn, question, and figure out our path to which God calls us. Our hearts, maybe, which give us the capacity to feel the full range of emotions that accompany compassion, mercy, and justice. And our spirits, the agency of God right here on earth. That which we reach out to the poor, the underprivileged, the disinherited, the brokenhearted. How about quality time with God? What does that look like for you? Our love language book says that one-on-one time is crucial and critical for well-being. When was the last time you took time out? I mean, seriously, took time out to pray. I mean, really pray in an uninterrupted and focused fashion. To go relax in the sun. To go walk in the woods. To sit in a chair with a cup of coffee or tea. Clearing your mind and really taking in the awe of the one who created you and all that's around you. Do you rest in God? Is there a small, still voice that comes? It doesn't always happen, but it will. Just like taking time for friends, we have to take time with God. But what really floats God's boat is acts of service. Our missions ministry and our book groups can tell you all about these. We're a small but important part of a web that helps connect people in need through no fault of their own with organizations that care. It's about money to keep those things going, for sure, but it's also about keeping our society focused on the need, telling the stories, advocating for change, such as the Granite State Organizing Project, a New Hampshire clergy that lets this state's towns and cities know that they can do more too if we just get creative. So what is God's love language? I'll leave you with these final thoughts. We're urged to choose which love language fits our needs. But God, like in so many things, God is bigger than that. God meets us where we are, but also spurs us on to greater awareness. In the Ten Commandments given to us, God asks us to be loyal and faithful and in a love relationship with God. Here's what is possible. Most of these commandments are negative formula, aren't they? That thou shalt not actually means that we should refrain from violent behaviors with those most vulnerable in our lives. If we think about it that way, with this strong commitment, we can honor the human rights that God has bestowed upon us, having delivered us from the bondage of working ourselves or for ourselves to gain the most benefit and greater power, and then exercising that to oppress others so that our will be done at the expense of the defenseless and the meek. I think God's love language, I hope you join me in this, but God's love language, it's all this. Because it's a covenant. It's a given to us without asking. It's a covenant. It's forever. But too often, even here at church, we emphasize religiosity that does not remember compassion and mercy to our neighbors, denies justice to those who don't seek or hold power. And today, just for today, I wonder if we can try and enter into God's perspective for us. It's a divine privilege that we must care for and never forsake. But of course, like all things in church and with God, that choice lies with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.